Point God is a production of iHeartRadio.
We on a little losing streak, so Magic say, come on, y'all, let's go outside. Let's go outside. So he said, yeah, man, y'all take some deep breaths. Take some deep breaths. Some of y'all, it's going to be y'all last time breathing this California air, because I'm going to get y'all ass up out of here. Now let's go in here and practice.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Guess what? It's the Point God Show, presented by Slick. I'm your host, Baron Davis. This show is about unearthing the real. This is for the young point guards. This is for the point guards in the rec leagues who still think they got game. This is for the old heads who playing pickup that just want some gems. We get to live in the minds, behind the eyes of some of the greatest point guards who have ever played the game. We get to get their story, who they are, who molded them, what made them, who they like. I'm Baron Davis. I'm your host. Point God, Slick, iHeart. Y'all ready? Let's get it. Ladies and gentlemen, I am damn near brought to tears when I talk about this man. This man, I've been waiting to tell this man how important he has been to my life as a young LA basketball player, second round pick of the Lakers, the era after Magic, the era people forget when Showtime had the bop time. He is the originator. And I tell people this all the time. He is the originator of the bop. Do not call me Diddy Bop or B Diddy or none of that. The originator of the bop. The man with the tricks. All-star, legend, code upon code upon code upon the tip of the Alpine's code. Ladies and gentlemen, the legend. 14.4 points per game average in his career. 2.9 rebounds, 6.6 assists, clutch, vision, bop. Lord have mercy, we gotta get into this. Ladies and gentlemen, none other than the point God himself, Nick Van Exel.
God damn, man, I was about to leave that long ass introduction.
Hey, man.
What's up, bro?
What's up, my bro? What's happening?
Man, I can't call it, man. Appreciate you having me on, man.
A legend. Oh, my goodness. Are you guys fucking kidding me, dog? Legend. What's up, dude? What's happening?
Man, I'm just sitting here in this hotel room, man, doing this interview, man, for my boy.
That's what's up, man. I appreciate you being on this show. I mean, this is the Point God Show where we highlight, you know, some of the top point guards to ever play this game. And, you know, just knowing you, you know what I mean? I want to start off with a story. Nick the Quick Van Exel. Let's jump into it, man. How did you get the nickname Nick the Quick Van Exel?
Man, that's crazy, man. You know, growing up, I was all kind of different names, but never really Nick the Quick. You know, I was called, I was called Pearl back at the crib for Pearl Washington, because that was my favorite guard growing up. You know, they called me Tricky Nicky, because back then, my name, everybody called me Nicky. You know, that was my name. And so everything was Nicky, like Tricky Nicky, Slicky Nicky, all that crazy shit. So when I got to L.A., Chick Hearn, the great Chick Hearn, man, started calling me, you know, Nick at Night, Nick the Quick.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, Chick Hearn gave me all kind of nicknames, though.
Yeah. Hey, and I'm sitting at home as a kid listening to all of it, yo. Listening to all of it. Let's start in the beginning. Early life, you know, the early life of Nicky. You know, what was that like, you know, growing up in Kinshasa, Wisconsin?
Yeah, so in Kenosha, man, you know, we
Kenosha, I can't read, bro.
It was kind of like a small town, right? And we had like a little north side, south side. Mm-hmm. So, you know, especially when the weather got right, you know, we was playground hoopers, you know. Yep. But the indoors wasn't that much. We had a spot called the CYC we would go to, but, you know, it wasn't for us like that, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I would just go there to play your game,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the summertime is when we really got it in, you know, north and south. And when I tell you it used to be heated.
Yeah.
I grew up on the south side when I was young. Mm-hmm. Then I moved to the north side as I got older. So I kind of switched sides. But it's crazy because, like, one weekend we'd be on the south side. Mm-hmm. So if I lived on the north side, we got to walk to the south side.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? And we crew deep. You know,
yeah, me, that's a long and walk. All our boys.
Yeah, we crew deep, and sometimes when the little tournament is over, you know what I'm saying? We may have to run to the crib yeah. separate ways because we was all cool with the north and the south. So, but it was the body shot game.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and then they had the old heads.
Yeah.
And when you beat the old heads, you get some body shots.
Oh yeah,
shots,
for so. Sure. They gonna take off on you.
So that's what it was like, man, and it kind of toughened me up, you know what I'm saying, for whatever that was coming next for me.
Yeah, so like growing up, like, was there somebody that, you know, when y'all playing these rival games, was there somebody that you was watching like, god damn, this dude is mm-hmm. like, I'm fucking with him, you know what I mean? Was that who was
yeah,
that person?
It was two dudes in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. Walt G and Al Steele. Like, both of them cats to me was like, them cats was cold, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So just watching them, you know, when I was a shorty, you know, they went to, Al went to St. Joe's High okay. School, and Walt G went to Bradford.
Mm.
And I used to go to all them cats games, man. And it's just, you know, when you were a kid and you watching varsity high school basketball, that's
right.
All you like, man, I can't wait till I get, you know what I'm saying? You looking at the layup line, you looking at like all that, you just hyped up, man. So them two cats, man, was cats that I looked up to, man, because that's what I saw every day. I didn't see, you know, the NBA yeah. cats, the college cats, you know what I'm saying? That's what I saw.
Yeah, and then like growing up, you know, coming from like a small town, right, you know, a lot of times, like, I was talking to Rod Strickland. I was talking about how LA guards used to get overlooked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, mm-hmm. when you think about all the other guards in other places around the country, it was like,
right.
you know, you were one, I guess in high school, I would say was, you know, underrated, you know what I mean? And overlooked. Talk about the high school experience and like, you know, when you really kind of came into your own. Mm-hmm. When you start growing, like, when did you start growing? Mm-hmm. You know, because I know we're gonna get into the JUCO stuff, but I want to paint the picture for our fans out there,
right?
You know, like, what was the high school life like when you were becoming? You know, like, when did you come into your point right. guard essence?
Right. For me, man, it was when you say underrated, I was no rated. You feel what I'm saying? Because, like, you know, where I was from, Kenosha, Wisconsin, man, wasn't nobody checking for us. You know
right.
what I'm saying? So, you know, in order for us to, like, get a name for ourselves, we had to kind of venture off,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? And, you know, get that break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was coming up and through high school, I had a bunch of small schools, you know what I'm saying, sending me letters all the time, like a bunch of the, I wouldn't even call them mid-majors. They probably was lower than mid-major joints, you know, sending me letters and stuff. You know, my junior year, we had a nice little team at St. Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the state championship, lost. Then we went back my senior year and lost. So I think that kind of gave me a little bit of, you know, credibility, you
yeah.
know what I'm saying? At least throughout the state.
Right.
At least throughout the state. I wouldn't say, you know, even tri-state, like Illinois or anything like that. I think just throughout the state.
Good.
So my thing was, let me back up. So in high school, dog, you know, I really wasn't a PG.
Oh,
you know
wow.
what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I really was like a two guard because my boy Myron G,
uh-huh.
he was the point guard, and Lawanzo Befford, he was a point guard. You know what I'm saying? I was just playing off the ball. Like, I really didn't develop point guard skills to like junior college.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Talk to me about, yeah, talk to me about that. Cause that, like, that sound right. You know what I mean? For some, you know, for some guards coming up in high school, you know, you plan it to, you'll score, and then you go to junior college, you know, or you going to college, and it's like, yo, you should be a point guard. How did that transition happen? You know what I mean? And what made, I mean, I know you're a gamer, but what made you be like, yo, I'm fucking with this position? You know what
man,
I mean?
It's crazy, man, because I honestly, dog, I really don't know. Because when I tell you, like, my junior, senior year, like, Myron Glass was a little bit younger than me, but he was the point guard on the team, right? Because, you know, in the small town, you don't have, like, the front lines of 6'9", 6'9".
Right,
like,
right.
Our center was Dana Rogge. He was 6'4". You know what I'm saying? He was
center. Was.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, when I went to JUCO, because, you know, all of the smaller schools were, I was like, man, I ain't trying to go there. Like, my eyes was like Vegas, Syracuse, Louisville. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That you
was
knew
my
you
vision.
Were on that platform. You knew you deserved it. You should have been on that platform.
So I said, man, I can't go to them schools. So I'm going to go to JUCO. I'm going to try it out. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to just put it all on me. I'm going to bet on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went there, I was instantly a point guard because of my size. You know, I'm 6'6", 6'1". Now I'm a point guard because these cats was way bigger than me when I went to JUCO. Like, we had some dogs in JUCO.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And especially back then, JUCO was like that was like was a real. Route. That, you know what I mean? That was like a real. I say that was the route that the real ones took. You know what I mean? That it just took a little bit more time. You feel what I'm saying?
No doubt.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
When I went there, I actually was, it was the first time I was out of the state of Wisconsin, dog. I went to Athens, Texas, Trinity Valley Community College. And when I tell you, you know how if you live in L.A. and your first time leaving L.A., you go to Houston, Texas or New York, you're going to be like, man, what the, you know what I'm saying? So that's how I was. And, you know, I went there for the craziest reason, man. Sean Kemp has signed there 1 week before I signed.
Wow.
1 week before I signed. So when I get ready to sign my paper, this fool done put his name in the NBA draft. So I'm like, man, come on, man. Because I'm like, I didn't know him, but I knew he went to Kentucky. He was McDonald's, and I knew he was catching everything you was throwing up to the rim, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, man, we may have a squad. Man, I signed and dude put his name in the draft, and I never got a chance to play with him. So, like, it was either going to be there or it was either going to be Mesa, Arizona. But in Mesa, they didn't give out scholarships to out-of-state students. So I chose Trinity Valley. And like I say, I was just thrust into that point guard position. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a clue. Like, so that's why when you asked me that question, like, I mean, it must have just been like a natural instinct because one thing I will say that what we did a lot, though, we worked on our handles at the crib.
Got
you know
it.
What I'm saying? Yep. So maybe just me having a decent handle helped me, you know,
decent
to transition.
Decent handle
over.
My ass. Hey, decent. Don't start that. Don't start that because I'm trying to unlock, like, where the fuck did you get the shit? You know what I mean? Like, you know, I like guitar players. They say they go under the bridge so the devil can tune their guitar. You know what I mean? Like, where did you go to get your tune?
So let me ask you this question. Okay. I think most players probably say the same thing. Most of the moves you did to where it was a highlight, you probably don't even know what you did. And you probably never worked on it.
That's true.
Because, like you may work on the cones. You know, do this and that, but when you in the game,
it's
your instincts is crazy.
Yeah.
But you don't work so much on your handle that I don't. Damn, what I just do? Then you got to watch it again. You'd be like, damn, you know, it was so much instinctive stuff, man.
Yeah, but like I think when like as a kid growing up, right in L.A., and you get drafted to the Lakers, right? You're the second round. I believe Derek Fisher was drafted that year too, right? Or a year after.
D Fish, Kobe, and Shaq all came my fourth year.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
they
right.
all came my fourth year.
That's right. And so, like, because you play with Magic when Magic came back and coached. What was that like?
Man, that shit was live, man. Like, I tell people all the time, man, I say, if Magic wasn't so close being removed from playing.
Yeah.
And would have took some time, like, he would have been a hell of a coach.
Yeah.
Because when I tell you, Magic, dog, he used to have us so pumped up, ready to play. Like, it was like, he kind of had like a college, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But it wasn't aggressive or anything negative or anything like that. But he just had you pumped up, ready to play. Like, man, we can go out here and beat anybody.
Yeah.
Even though we was trash, you know, my first year there, we was trash. But he had us pumped up to thinking like, man, y'all got it, man. So speaking of Magic, man, now I got a few stories of him.
Oh, come on with it.
I got a couple stories of when he was coaching, right? So one time we was...
Yo, we got to tap in real quick. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors.
We was on the losing streak, man. We practicing. You know, back then, it wasn't no practice facilities. You know, we in L.A., we at L.A. City College, Community College. We everywhere,
Spectrum,
you know what I'm saying?
Spectrum, all that.
YMCA, Spectrum, Loyola Marymount. We everywhere, right? So one day we at Loyola Marymount, and we on a little losing streak. So Magic say, come on, y'all, let's go outside. So we go outside, right? So he said, yeah, man, y'all take some deep breaths. We looking out. Now we looking at each other like, man, Magic trip, man. Let's go practice, man. So we, no. Take some deep breaths. Breathe in this California air. So now we like, he said, it smell good, don't it? So we like, it smell good, don't it? He say, some of y'all, it's going to be y'all last time breathing this California air because I'm going to get y'all ass up out of here. Now, let's go in here and practice. We was like, oh, shit. Like, that was one of the first time Magic, like, he snapped. Like, he was just, you know, he's like, and Coop was his assistant. So he used to always be like, Coop, man, they ain't ready for us, man. They ain't ready. They ain't like us, Coop. They ain't like us. And this last story, man, this was a classic right here. Was we was in the locker room. We had got whooped by somebody, and somebody phone beat. That's why, like, us old cats, like we the phones, like, it's so different now.
It's way different.
You know, it is what it is. You know, you got to adapt. So somebody's phone just buzzing loud as hell on the wood. So Magic talking, and about the fourth time that thing buzzed, dog, this motherfucker looked around and said, See, Coop, this is what I'm talking about, Coop. This is what I'm talking about. So who phone is that? So Magic is by the board. You got Vlade and you got Eldon sitting right next to each other, right? So Debo, big Eldon, right?
Uh-huh.
Magic look over there, like, because it's coming from right there, that area. It ain't me. Debo, like, it ain't me. So long story short, Vlade reach in. It's Vlade's. Like, damn. So we sitting there like, man, what are you going to do? He grabbed the phone. He grabbed Vlade's phone. Said, he walked around all nonchalant, cool. See, Coop, this is what I'm talking about. They, you know, they got all this and all that. They got the cars. They got the little jewelry. But they ain't got no rings, Coop. They ain't got no rings. They got all this other stuff. But they ain't got no championships, Coop. They ain't hanging no banners. When I tell you this man walked to the center of the locker room and turned around and looked at that board and just that phone went into about 100 pieces, man.
What was Vlade doing?
He couldn't say nothing. He was just like, everybody was just in shock, like, damn, we done pissed Magic off. You know what I'm saying?
That's hilarious.
But Magic, man, X's and O's, I think he would have been good at, man, and just the preparation. Like, he always had us prepared. He would have been good if he wasn't so close to being removed from playing.
Yeah. I remember the energy and shit. I remember he was getting so frustrated that he wound up playing. He's like, it's fucking.
It's funny, man, because I'm, you know that the eras is crazy because his era, the way they competed and played, and then our era kind of changed. You know, it was kind of like, you know, changing of the guard. You know what I'm saying? And our era was totally different than their era. And then when we left, that 2000 era started being different than the 90s era. And now this era, you know what I'm saying? So as an old head, you always see the differences. Since you played in it, you start to see that shit.
You played in what, two different decades, really? You know what I mean? Like, you played against three different sets of point guards. You know what I mean? Coming into the league. Like, who was that? Who were the point guards coming into the league as a rookie? Because you was tearing people up, though, Nick. On the real. You was fucking... Y'all was weak, but you was fucking people up. And I... you know, you got Big Homie. You got Eldon, Sabonis. Y'all had Big Pig. Big Pig Miller. Y'all was some trash. y'all was some trash. Who was some of the top... Like, point guards, like, who really welcomed you to the league? Like, what's that story, and who's that point guard? Then when you got to the league, you're like, damn, he got me.
Well, so it was one point guard who I was, like, I was excited to play against. That was KJ, Kevin Johnson.
Okay.
I'm like, man, this cat right here going to be so hard to guard. That's all I kept thinking. Like, he quick. I knew his moves. Like, bang, through the legs, and he was gone. You know what I'm saying? I knew his moves. But my introduction, I would say, had to be against GP, dog.
Oh, my God. Tell
GP
me,
did me so dirty, man. He did me so dirty. So it's my rookie year. And we played a couple games already in Hawaii. We played against John Stockton.
Okay.
So that was cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I knew what Stockton was going to bring to the table. But, you know, we get back to L.A. We playing in the Forum. And... we're playing Seattle. Man, I make a move, man, and I get by GP. BD, when I tell you this, man pushed me from the middle of the paint to the front row. So, man pushed me so hard, man, and I'm stumbling. So I get up. I'm like, damn, so I got to go to him now. Yeah. I got to, you know, so now we face to face, just John. So he's like, man, I've been waiting on you. I've been watching you in college. Welcome to the league. I've been waiting on you. So to me, it was like I had to step up because if I didn't, I was done. I was done. And thank God that's the way I grew up. So it was cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, you really, when I was, you was taking on all fades. You was taking on all fades. And I remember as a rookie, like a lot of times they tried to bully you and they didn't realize that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you really from, you know, hey.
Right.
Don't play with me over here, bro.
Right. I mean, like I tell people all the time, I said, man, we are from the same spot. Same place, just a different area.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? We all from the same hood, just a different area. You know what I'm saying? My first game, I played against KJ, and like I was watching KJ as a shorty, just watched him in the playoffs against the Lakers. I'm like, man. But I went out there and had 23. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So, like, I was kind of calm inside. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, my mental was like, I got to go at this cat. I got to make him respect me. If I don't,
Shit,
he going to tear me up, dog.
And then, so like, I want to go back a little bit because I want to talk about, you know, like the making of Nick Van Exel, the arrival, right? Year at Cincinnati, Bob Huggins. Talk about like that, like why Cincinnati, why Bob Huggins? It felt like dog, that was like some magical shit. It was like, yo, y'all had some crazy chemistry, yo. Yo, you know what time it is. You know, this show wouldn't be where it is if it wasn't for our sponsors. Let them have it. The year at Cincinnati, Bob Huggins. Talk about like that. Like, why Cincinnati? Why Bob Huggins? It felt like dog, that was like some magical shit. It was like, yo, y'all had some crazy chemistry, yo.
Crazy story, man. So like you said before about the JUCO thing, you know what I'm saying? So I'm in Trinity Valley, and it's really only two schools on me heavy at that time. So I had New Mexico State with Neil McCarthy, and your boy was out there, Sam Crawford. Yeah, he was out there.
Young Sam.
And Mexico State had New Mexico State had a whip too, right? And then Cincinnati. So I'm doing the pros and cons of it, right? So I'm looking at New Mexico State. I'm like, damn, they already got Sam. You know, I don't want to really go. I only got 2 years left. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't thinking about the NBA. I was just thinking about playing. You know what I'm saying? So now when I look at Cincinnati, I see, okay, they play at the crib. They play in Chicago, DePaul, and they play Milwaukee Marquette.
Yeah.
I said, so now, you know, my folks get to see me at the crib.
Yeah.
So, and then the another big factor was who they had coming in. For one, they had the JUCO player of the year from last year, and I've actually played against him in JUCO, Herb Jones.
Okay.
He was a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had JUCO player of the year in California, Corey Blunt.
Yeah.
First team California JUCO player, Eric Martin, and first team Terry Nelson, Long Beach.
Oh wow. JUCO. Yeah, you had California boys.
Exactly. So now I'm like, man, we may be all right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I ended up going there. You know what I'm saying? And when I get there, like BD, when I tell you, I didn't start in JUCO when I first got there, and I didn't start at Cincinnati when I first got
there. Who was the starting point guard?
And when I went to Trinity Valley, they had this white kid by the name of Don Reynolds, and he was a transfer from the University of Texas.
Got it.
So I guess when you come from Texas,
yeah,
they just assuming like you know,
you go, yeah, it's your spot.
Smashing them.
Who was the point guard at Cincinnati?
Then we had Allen Jackson. He went to a JUCO too, and he came to Cincinnati. But AD was nice. AD, yeah. That's my guy. He was nice.
Yeah.
But he just had some injuries. So it took me a while to crack the starting lineups in both situations. But
that's crazy. And when did you when you cracked this? Like when was that breakout game when you cracked the starting lineup? And everybody was like, "Yo, this is our point guard."
Well, I think when I was in Cincinnati, it probably was like sometime in January when I started starting. So. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole time I'm over there just, you know, pulling my hair out, going crazy.
Well, hell yeah.
You
know?
Like then I'm like, man, I'm transferring out there. I'm getting out of here. Knowing I wasn't going nowhere.
Right.
But, I'm just so frustrated because even if I wasn't starting, I probably felt I should have been getting a little bit more playing time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it all worked out, though. It took me a while to get a little bit more playing time. And once I started starting.
That was it.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about that tournament run, like that year. That shit was crazy, bro. Walk me through that. Like, what was that? What was that experience like? Like, you know, you coming into the tournament. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Was y'all ranked high that year?
I think we got up to four or five.
Y'all was pretty high. You had, you know, you All-American status, everybody knowing about you. You know what I mean? Like, what was your motivation going into that tournament? Because it was like you was possessed, dog.
It's so crazy, man, because, like, I tell people, I said, man, playing at Cincinnati, them probably was the most fun I ever had playing basketball. The unit was so crazy, dog. Like, you couldn't separate the unit. And when I first got there, man, it's like, and this is why I give Huggins a lot of credit, because when you got JUCO players, you know, for one, it's a stereotype on JUCO players. Right. You know what I'm saying? They're either selfish, they're bad kids, they can't fit into a system, whatever it may be.
Right.
It's stereotypes on JUCO players. And, you know, when we had the guys from California, we had me coming from Texas, we had AD coming from Indiana, we were just all over the place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And when we got there, man, the unit in that summer was so – the bond was so tight, dog, that I never seen nothing like it before in my life. Never experienced it, and ain't never experienced it to after, you know, even to this point. So we get to the preseason, and shit, they in the locker room talking about making goals. So I'm like, goals? I don't know what no goals is. You know what I'm saying?
That's
I don't know damn. So we talk about what we want to do as a team.
That's what's
you know what I'm saying? Win this championship and conference tournament, win it. We had a record set. Man, we reached every goal, dog.
That's That's crazy.
And that first year, our goal was Elite Eight. We went to the Final Four.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, that was whole
a run,
journey,
dude. That was a run. Y'all was so close. God.
It was crazy, man. It was crazy because when we got to the Final Four, we was like, man, we finna mop Michigan up, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Fab Five. Fab Five was nice. The Fab Five had all the hype. They was the big school. We was just some JUCO rejects. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But the Fab Five was nice, man. Juwan, C-Web, J. Rose, you know what I'm saying? Ray. All them cats was nice. So we battling them. And we still feel we got shafted by the referees. But
Yeah.
We won't get no calls.
Hey, bro, we wasn't going to get no calls. y'all from Cincinnati. Y'all JUCO dudes. Y'all ain't getting no
calls. We ain't getting no calls, man.
Y'all stereotyping coming into the game.
What? But the run was great, man. Like, Hugs, like, playing for Hugs, dog. He, like, when you talk about the past, like, from growing up to high school, I had a yelling coach, you know, my ninth grade coach, Ray Knight. JUCO, I had Big Red. He was like Bobby Knight, just.
Yeah.
And then I went to Hugs. He was like, like, so all that just the anger was just inside, but the anger was kind of like a control anger to go out there and just run through the wall for these dudes, man. So.
Yeah, and would you relate that to like your chip on your shoulder when you got to the league?
Like, what
did you carry with you? You know what I mean? It's like, I remember when I played, it was like, I always like put all the frustration. I used to put an invisible backpack on. Oh, I'm arguing with my mama. Okay, I'm putting that in here. I'm arguing with my sister. I'm putting that in here. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
A homeboy thing, you know, and you being, you know, a second round pick, you know, what was that like? Just like, you know, one, getting drafted. And then, you know, when you got to the league, like, how did you feel? Like, it was like, yo, how did you, like, what kind of imprint did you think you wanted to leave going in to your first few years?
Well, it's crazy when you talking about that invisible backpack, because my shit was heavy as hell. You know what I'm saying? Just from a childhood, from, you know, just, you know, when you remember shit as you get older from your childhood, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, parents, both parents, you know, going to prison, you know, staying at different places, you know, struggling to, because the high school I went to was called St. Joe's. It was a Catholic school, so it was private. I didn't go to the school where my boys went to, Bradford. Yeah. I went to a private school. It was a couple of us over there, but not many. So I had to adjust to that. You know what I'm saying? So that whole 4 years, I'm like, man, they not like me. They different, but I adjusted. You
especially
know what I'm saying?
White people, man. You know what
that's
I mean?
What it it's was. Like that's what it was.
That's how it was for me going to Crossroads. Yeah. It was like, man, I only play basketball against white people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. I did not like wake up and see and had to see them every day.
No.
So it's like a hell of a learning curve, right?
For sure. Because I tell people all the time, I was like, man, they got credit cards, they got cars, they got
man,
this.
They got everything. I'm just trying to get a conversation with my mama. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I'm just trying real to talk. Find out what my daddy is. You know what I mean?
Real talk. So, you know, all of that and then, you know, going to JUCO and having a, you know, get them grades to get on to Cincinnati and just it's so much built up frustration. You know what I'm saying? So when you talking about my what I envisioned for myself,
yeah,
man, I was just hooping, BD.
Right.
I literally was just out there hooping.
Cause, right.
Because to me, coming from where I came from, like, it was surreal. For one, being drafted by the Lakers, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't care if I went in the first round or second round. I think other people care. Me, I was so excited about that opportunity. You feel what I'm saying? Like, man, I'm going to L.A., you know what I'm saying? You know, Magic, Showtime, the 80s, you know what I'm saying? Hollywood. Yeah. But I wasn't that kind of a person. I was more of a, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sit in the corner, watch everything, you know what I'm saying? I didn't embrace it probably like I should have as a player, you know, because I was just out there hooping.
No, I think you embraced it right. You know what I mean? Because you got to think the Lakers coming off of Showtime. You know what I mean? And I think L.A. was crying for you to be Magic. Like, we wanted you to be Magic, but I didn't want you to be Magic. You know what I mean? I wanted you to be Nick Van Exel because you were different. You know what I mean? Like Magic had gave us a run of, you know, smiling and, you know, all this like, you know, that motherfucker had flavor, bro. They had so much goddamn flavor. It was like, so we already had the flavor. We just didn't have, we were all small, bro. We were all little guards. So we didn't have like, you know, like somebody to look at and be like, God damn, okay, this is the future. You know what I mean? So when you came to the Lakers, right, and nobody knew who you were, then all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, 360, no look pass, the fake around the back, you know what I mean? All that shit, where did all that come from? You know what I mean? Like, did that come from the streets? You know, like that essence that you brought to the Lakers, I think for me was like, that's the shit I wanted to fuck with, right? Yeah, I never seen nobody. I seen people move like you, right? And usually it's like two guards. Catch, pump fake, on the toes, hezzy, go. But I never seen a guard come down with speed, stop on a dime, pull up, stop, give your hands up. Then, your step back, bro, your footwork. Where did you, like... I never seen that shit, bro.
That's wild, man, because like I think I just got better with time because Cincinnati, I wasn't doing that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like when I got to LA, I don't know what it was. It was just like something just possessed my ass to where you just go out and hoop because like it, that one pass I make, that little wrap around behind the back pass, this little kid from New York taught me that pass in junior college. You know what I'm saying? But I never converted that thing.
That shit was hard when you did it.
The first time I did it, man, I was at this I was at this JUCO camp, dog, and you know, a whole bunch of college scouts was there. Man, I threw that motherfucking ball straight out of bounds. and I never did it in JUCO. I never did it in Cincinnati. The first time I did it was in the NBA.
That shit, and it hit.
That was the first time I never, like, from that first time I turned it over, I never turned it over after that. But the first time I did the pass again from that JUCO tournament camp was in the league. Like, all of my stuff, dog, I'm being honest, man, it was so instinctive because I didn't get to play like that at Cincinnati.
Right.
I didn't get to play like that when I was in JUCO. You know what I'm saying? It was more, you know, control. You know what I'm saying? So when I got to the league, you know, you just relax a little bit.
So you feel like your game took off once you got to the league.
I'm sure. I mean, when you look at college is like, just think of all the good North Carolina players.
Yep.
And Duke players, like they don't get the ball like that in college.
No.
But when they get to the league, you know, that cream rise to the top.
Exactly.
You know, and you kind of let your hair down a little bit and go off.
And
like
the game open up. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
It's not so intense for like 2 or 4 points, you know what I mean, in college. So it's more free flowing. Now, a lot of people don't know you were the Laker vet when Shaq and Kobe got there. What was that like? Oh my goodness. What a story. Hey, Magic may need to come back to coaching. Magic, I know you got all this money, man, but you know, come back and coach. Just do one last time. You know what I mean? Do it one time. Do it one time for the culture, Magic. That completes part one. Part two. With Nick Van Exel, we talk about being my guy, Kobe. We get to talk about Kobe. We get to talk about matchups. Tune in for part two, Point Guard Podcast. Your host, Baron Davis, with Nick Van Exel.
I'm going to tell you a crazy story on Kobe. You see him in the beginning. Kobe used to walk in the gym, dog. Kobe used to walk in that thing, like, you know what I'm saying? You know, his head is so high up, like, I'm finna smash you, Cash, man. Like,
Point God is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.